No, you can't. You can't handle. It's only with divine help. And when you're together in Christ, you have a relationship where you have the Godhead supportive of you in your defense against enemies. And so I don't think we have enough faith in God and his word sometimes. We let those enemies lick us and we just say, I'm so weak. Don't tell God you're weak. He knows that already. He knows you're weak. He knows your foibles and your follies. He knows all of that. Don't tell him that. Just trust him for what he says. And that's what we're going to talk about with soon. And so we're counted together at the right hand. And that's imputed together. And that together is what I want to talk about more. And we're still talking enemies. But I want to emphasize a little bit of the detail about how soon can work. And that reminder. And never, ever, ever forget you're soon, you're together with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with other believers. And God doesn't see you ever as separate. And so when we talk about imputation, you know, I have a bulletin cover that I've used, and it wasn't that long ago I used it. Alone with God is anywhere. You don't have to go into a prayer closet. You don't have to go and sit on a mountain somewhere. You don't have to go out. I mean, you can be alone in the middle of a stadium watching a football game. And you can be alone with God because you're used to being able to enjoy him alone. Well, see where we're going? I hope it's helpful. It certainly has been overwhelming to me in the last couple of weeks as I've been working it, and such a precious truth. And sometimes I don't preach the same material very often. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of review. As I've gotten older, I've been reviewing a little bit more. I've been almost feeling guilty that I'm too youthful, and that being youthful, I think you should learn everything I teach. And I know better. I'm not that youthful. I'm starting to learn that. So when we teach, the repetition is super important. And sometimes it takes, you know, 50 times. And finally the Holy Spirit says, hey, get it? It's your turn. You can get it now. It's for you. And we understand that. And so sometimes you say, well, I don't quite understand this well. Just wait. When it's your time, when you've matured enough to get it, you'll get it. And that's something we anticipate always. God is in charge. We are not. Father, may you bless us. We think in these areas. Most of all, we're thankful for your word and the effect of it. But most of all, we are amazed when we understand that not only did you save us to heaven forever, but you saved us with that, with a protection against spiritual enemy. And it wasn't something that we had to purchase, that we had to earn, but it was something you just gave us by grace. And so often we want to earn it, or we want to do something rather than to do it your way, and we are so determined to do it our way. May you bless us, and we think in these things. May your Spirit lead us into truth in Christ's name. Amen. In the In Christ book, I was thinking that book has been in the hopper, had been in the hopper for a long, long time. Truthfully, it started 50 years ago. In fact, longer than that. Working, studying, relating to that. And as time goes on, it's easy to say, well, this book is a book that's been around a while. There's got to be something new. Well, you can't get any more new than that In Christ book. I mean, that can be so absolutely new and so fresh and so refreshing as we understand it. And it was rather interesting as I looked at the backdrop for that. because I started within. And I understood it. Dr. Schaefer in seminary classes said, get into Paul and underline all the in Christ, in whom, in the beloveds, all of those words that relate to in Christ. Underline them so you see them and see how important they were. Well, I underline them. Now you do what you're told. But then after they're underlined, they're there. And you come across those underlines and you say, I remember why I underlined those, because somebody told me it was important. And it wasn't long that I would see that underline and I would see, no, it wasn't that somebody told me it was important. It's that God said it's important. And so that underline is even more valuable. And so in my text that I use on a regular basis, I have all my in Christ underlined, and I did it like I would and use the language tools to underline them and note whether it was in or by and that kind of thing. Then I was well reminded of the ice preposition, which became the first part of that book. Into, moving from one location to another. That impressed me, and I see how God used that in my spiritual development. To see that he took me and put me in a different situation completely that I didn't deserve. And that relocation was to premium property. That is in Christ. And that work that took place focused in my thinking of what happened in my salvation and part of it. And that is the moment I believed the gospel, and I was just a kid. I didn't understand that I moved into a different location. I know my parents tried to tell me, you say you're a Christian, but you need to have a little different behavior because you were shifted from one place to another. And that was kind of a guilt trip. But then, with maturity, and I started to think of it, and all I could do was want to sing Amazing Grace again. You know? Grace took me from one place to another. I was thinking in this material about a song. I was going to make a note on it. And it was interesting. It was a young person that wrote the song. You would recognize it. I think he wrote it when he was 14. And without him, you remember that song? Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I truly fail. Without him, I would be like a ship without a sail. I was such a line. And the kid wrote it. 17 years old, he decided, I mean, he said that. He was very serious. 21 years later, God confronted him over his life as an heroin addict. Who'd written words, without him I can do nothing. Within 2 years after that, he was writing other music, and he had a life back in a relationship with the Lord. And his name was Milan Lefevre, of the Lefevre. And it's kind of interesting as we look back and we think, we changed our position. I always wonder when I see stories like that. Of people who did things that were impressive. I heard that story a long time ago. We don't sing without him here normally. Just because, yeah, well, we did long, long ago. But I heard that story, and Here was somebody that wrote it, and in reality, he didn't live it. And he probably got saved after he had been an addict for 21 years. And yet his name is in the, I mean, in the copyright of that hymn, that song, chorus, in that. Ice into soon is the one that comes along. And you know, it was kind of interesting that soon preposition really became a capstone when I started to understand that and saw what it does to people when they understand it. This togetherness, this intimacy, this identifiable togetherness. When you're together in this way, it's not because you walk down the street in the company of somebody, but you are identified with them. I mean, it's interesting when you see people in uniform. I have not gone to the Rose Parade for many years. I like a brass marching band. It's just, you know, I'm eclectic, so I like to go to a parade. I like to try to pick a spot where they're going to play, because I do like to tap my foot. I like to have my soul, L.E. blast. You see these in uniform. The Rose Parade and the Starlight Parade, would have a band that was called One More Time Around Band. I don't know if any of you remember that or not. And they played in bands in college and in high school and all of this. And they all came and they got together and they played. There were a couple of hundred usually. And they dressed like, they didn't wear uniforms. I think finally they did give them some t-shirts to wear. But it was kind of interesting. They were not uniform. And I always used to think, even a high school band that was uniform felt better to me than One More Time Around Band. And it was because I saw uniformity. Whereas with them, I didn't see uniformity. I didn't seem like they were together, and I knew the whole story. And they were probably better musicians than the high school kids that played. It used to be a big privilege for a high school to be invited to play at the Rose Parade or the Starlight. It was something that a high school would look forward to. And I say the Rose Parade here. What a privilege it was for people to go down to Pasadena on New Year's and play a high school band. There was one from here in the state several years ago that had done that. But that togetherness. I mean, you see somebody together. I don't know how you feel if you see men in uniform and you see a couple of them walking down the street. It's hard for me not to salute. And I've never been in the military. Because I see two guys. I say thank you to almost every person that wears a uniform that I see. I want to let them know they're appreciated. And I will tell them that. And I've seen some awesome things happen. As I see, it was funny, I was at Fort Knox at the Patton Museum. And the tankers that had been in tank training, they had the tank training there at Fort Knox, had just graduated. And they were there with their parents. What did I do? They were out on the tanks, which was great. They've changed it. I don't know whether I want to go back or not. They moved some of the tanks. But anyway, they were all showing their parents around the tanks that were out in static display. And I realized that there were a lot of cameras there, a lot of siblings, parents, grandparents. And I thought, there's nobody here to tell these guys thank you. So what I did, and I had a great time, it was just so much fun to be able to walk up to this family with this young man in his uniform and to say, thank you for serving our country. I appreciate it. Would you like me to take a picture on your camera of you and your family? And I said, thank you. It was funny. Talk about buttons ready to pop. They were so proud that somebody would just say that to their kid or their brother or their sister, because they saw them as together, having gone through the graduation line the night before. Together, that's us. And we understand it. It's an identifiable togetherness. We don't have to wear a uniform. We live the uniform. We are all together in Christ. And if we live it, it's something like we were wearing a uniform, but it's only visible to God and those who can distinguish what a Christian is like. And it's not being so different. And one of the ways that we are together is that we have a together kind of victory over the enemy. We have victory over the sin nature, which is the enemy within. We have victory over the satanic world system, which is an enemy without, outside. We're just reviewing. Satan demons are enemies outside. But we together have victory. You know, we don't go to church and have a section of the church building that says this is for people who are defeated and this is for people who have victory. Because together we have victory. It's in the problem is encouraging one another to enjoy the intimacy that is in that togetherness in Christ that makes the difference. And so these enemies are just that. Remember, the sin nature wars and campaigns against the soul. World system appeals, and it appeals through the soul and spirit both. The eye gate and the lust of the flesh. And Satan attacks the mind. Those thoughts, we've talked about this. But in Christ, we are together. In other words, don't feel that you are the only one who is being approached by an enemy and that you go it alone. It doesn't work that way. You have a relationship together in Christ that you always have help. You always have help. It's always there. Admit it. It's always there. We don't want to admit it sometimes. We're weird. We think we can do it on our own, so we don't want to admit that somebody's there to help us. We're like little kids, think we don't need help on that. And so we have to be very careful in thing of togetherness. We talk about life, and I'm going to just touch it very quickly, because we're working life. That's where we're going next week. And that is, scripture talks about two kinds of physical life. Bios is biology, and zoe is also use of physical life. Zoology versus biology. Those two words are carried across. Zoe is a prominent term. It's also used of eternal life and resurrection life. And so when we understand this, that we share together in resurrection life with the soon. Soon is just used of the relationship that a saint has in Christ Jesus. It's not used because you're in the family of God, which is rather interesting. Yeah, we take them apart. We've taken it apart so many times over the years. You know, it's eternal life and resurrection life are different. That's what I tried to drive last week. It's hard to understand the difference. Resurrection life did not exist until Christ raised from the dead. Eternal life has always existed. And so we have an identity with both. And so eternal life, you get it by birth. Its life is in the Son. It was kind of fun. I was, you know, where I'm so used to quoting 1 John 5:11-12. But I want to look down at 1 John 5:20. I always forget to go there. And look at what it says. It says the same thing, but a little differently. And in 520, it says, that's not the right verse, because that's not chapter 5. Okay. And we know, and there in verse 20, what does it say? We intuitively know. We have the data. We have the information. And so, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. So the Son of God, Christ, know him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Pretty upfront, isn't it? And it's a very interesting, simple to be verb. This continually is the true God, even eternal life. That's the Granville chart. Even eternal life. Put that in your list of the Son being eternal life passages. Just jump right on down to 20. And you'll notice it seems to be isolated because it's a clause all by itself. And that's going to make a big difference. So we have that resurrection life. What value is a resurrection life? It's not only in past tense salvation, but it's present tense salvation. We have resurrection. We can live as resurrected ones. There was a song that was sung. I used to have fun trying to interpret the way it was sung. It says, in the great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Ever hear that one? Great getting up morning. Interesting song. And because fare thee well didn't sound very, I thought very well, very well. That's the way I always used to hear it. And then I understood when I was involved with singing some of that. Fare ye well. In the great getting the morning. Well, because of the resurrection life, you're going to fare very well in that great getting the morning, because that great getting the morning for the church is going to be any moment. And so I know there's some bad theology behind that, but that's the way that works. Now, what I've done in your notes, and it's just there for you to mess with, I put data. To study this subject, I put bios and its derivatives. They have four forms. I just made a list. You can look them up if you want to. That's why they're here. But the word zoe is found 134 times as a noun, and the verb is found 142 times. That's 276 times. Talks about life and lots of different kinds of life. And I'm not going to go through all these terms. I'm just doing it so you have them. But when we get to this word for life, we are together alive. We share the life of God because of birth, and we share resurrection life because of spirit baptism. This is how we live our lives as believers that are spirit-filled believers. That's one of the reasons for the filling of the Spirit, so that we can manifest eternal life and manifest resurrection life and live in those, and they go together. I wish sometimes that some elements of where I teach would have been taught here in this building, but then we didn't have time. In Woodburn, I did a series on how the baptism of the Spirit activates the results of spiritual birth. That's what we're talking about here. When you understand your resurrection life, it's sure easy to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit produce eternal life. And so we have together in Christ Jesus. We have together in Christ with other Christians. We do not stand alone. That soon says you're not alone. It's okay to be at the right hand. Because you don't feel alone there. Because if you're at the right hand, you're not feeling. You're thinking. It's a mind thing. So you just can't feel at the right hand. And we don't, I mean, I know I won't throw a rock at you if you say I feel like I'm at the right hand. No, I know I'm at the right hand. I don't feel it. I know it. And so that makes my relationship to my God and what he's provided in great salvation, I have this intimate togetherness, and that's what I want to talk about. There are two together words, and we've talked about them before. One is meta. These are two prepositions. Meta occurs about 430 times. Why do I say about? I have places where they have word counts. Because these terms occur so often, sometimes you have textual problems, so I will put about, put a C there, approximately. It's found with the genitive, according to Smith, 371 times. It's found with the accusative, 102 times. That's important. One place I really emphasize it with the accusative is after Thanksgivings, when we're doing communication. Soon, on the other hand, is found 128 times. That's, well, a little better than a quarter of the times that the other occurs. Gives you an idea it's important. But the thing that is absolutely overwhelming when we look at the soon is how often it is used in combined forms, that is, with a prefix or compounded. And that's where we enjoy it in this material we're studying. This intimate togetherness in action. And that's why I read Ephesians 2. Because there's that intimacy that is there that is very close. You're not alone. When you were crucified with Christ, you were not alone. When you died, you were not alone. When you were buried, you were not alone. When you were given life, you were not alone when you raised, but you were together intimately with the one who did it all. He doesn't leave us. We still are in that condition. Why is it that this week, maybe it was Titusville that did this to me, I will never, ever, not even once, possibly leave you, I will never, ever, not even once, possibly forsake you. And then you got another no in there that you can't translate very well. Because he's always, because of what we have in Christ, and that's why this soon becomes so super important. When you think of soon, you know, one Christian with another person. The one-on-one relationship together with Christ is something we need to understand. It's one-on-one. God counts me as though I was the only one that was in the person of my substitute. That's how good an imputation is. If I think in those terms that I, you know, I'm the only one that he died for, that sounds a little selfish, but really it tells you how important it is to God, this soon relationship, because I am together with Christ. And God sees that. And don't get proud because God teaches that, but be thankful because that means that we have no reason to be defeated Christians. None. Zero. The other person is together with one person. That is, Jesus Christ is together with a person, a Christian. That one-on-one. In this building, we used to sing more often than we do now. A song that's in our hymn book, No, Never Alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Most of you don't understand how important that song was in this building. There's a little lady and usually sat back on that back bench with the biggest smile you could ever buy. It was just a beautiful, beautiful scene. Grandma Perkins. And that was, I think, her favorite song. And her story told the reason that she understood. And she got together, understood the together idea. Her son was married and they had two kids. He was a student at Pacific University. He got cancer and died. The daughter-in-law would not take the responsibility for the two kids. Grandma Perkins took that responsibility and raised two little kids. She had lost her husband not long before. So she was alone in many ways, and then she raised these two kids. She was hard to believe. She would, during the war, she worked in a lumber mill and threw boards around in the lumber mill because they were always not in the best financial shape. And it was always interesting, that smile, I can see it right now. She wanted to sing Never Alone. And that was a testimony to me. She was eager to learn, but the best part of it all was she learned how to live what she loved. And Never Alone made a difference. You don't have to be grandma to be never alone. Every one of us, no matter what our age is, we're not alone. And that's super important. And the one person that we're with in our togetherness is Jesus Christ. We also have the other two persons of Godhead, but we don't need to go there. This is adequate. A group of persons together with each one. That is, we are together and we have that opportunity to relate together because of what we have in Christ. That's the soon. That's the cover of my flawed bulletin. We have a group of people. They look better if I had the graphics corrected. Maybe I can't correct that. I'll find out. A group of Christians together with Christ. You ever think maybe when you're here and when Christ is glorified in service that we're sitting together with him as the center of our perspective because we have an intimacy with him. Because of who we are, because of pure baptism. We don't have to have that religious superstitious awe, but when we think about it, what a privilege. To know that he is with us as well as the Holy Spirit. A group of Christians with other Christians, all sharing together. Then an element of Christian, the Christian faith, that's one reason it's a value, the gospel check. I mean, I love it when somebody gives me the gospel clearly and I say, well, then you're my brother or you're my sister. I love to be able to tell you guys that. You're my brother, you're my sister. Because you believe the gospel, you're in the same body I'm in, the same family I'm in. And so we can share together intimately because of the spiritual benefits that are ours. And as a group, we should be able to share spiritual victory in Christ together. We sang, blessed be the time. The idea of shedding a sympathizing tear was one of the reasons I wanted to sing it. We hurt with those who are hurt, but we love anyway. We love one another. That's the big command, the new command. And we love one another as a group of believers relating to one another. And so we all How do I mean, it's hard for me to picture this. I want a graphic. I think in pictures, and I can't picture this one. You know, all Christians with Christians and Christ is the center of it all. And he's everywhere at the same time. So this togetherness is so intimate to all of us together. What a beautiful picture. And we'd like to think that's what needs to happen when we are together and to relate to this. Now, what does soon mean? It has the idea, and I've gotten several definitions. I'm not real happy with most of them because it goes a little further than that. But they're all super important. And that is the idea of togetherness in shared or common association. Now that seems a little, you know, sounds like Masons. No, it's better than that. This is a spiritual relationship. And there is an intimacy of this common association. Because we are identified with Christ in it. What do you think of a communion service? You look forward to it? Is it because you wish there was a crucifix? What's the communion service is the what? Communion, that's koinonia. It's sharing in common. It's a soon kind of service. That's why those who partake in an unworthy manner have problems with the body of Christ because they're not living out the reason for communion to remind us we share in common. We share together. And so there's this intimacy that can take place. I've been in some interesting communion services. Some of you probably have some memories of some communion service. I think some of my memories are early. I know they are. Because people saw a crucifix. If they had been emotional like they were with a crucifix in their relationship to one another, would have made all the difference in the world. That one another relationship, how many tears have been shed? How many times over the many years here have I seen people that roll their eyes in religious superstitious on a communion service and miss the point? And the point is we're together. We share a common table. And that's the point. It's connectedness. The world can't come close to this kind of connectedness if we let it work the way God wants it to work. This union. I could have put communion here and didn't. Coherence, company, the co's of English are soon's of the Greek. The idea of close participation and a shared condition. I like the shared condition. We all have the same thing. We don't have a reason to be competitors with one another in the body of Christ because we share together the same benefits. Absolutely the same. And there are not those who are more equal than others. We are all one in the body of Christ. You see how imputation is so important? This idea of oneness. I'm ready to get there. But we're not there yet. The idea of sharing this common condition or destiny. It's interesting in doing the work I've done this week on this and working in it. But there are those who say that the soon preposition deals with eschatology, that is, prophecy and future things. They are wrong, wrong, wrong. Yes, it guarantees that we have a future, but it guarantees we have a present that is pleasing to God. yeah, we're going to be together with Christ. And I mentioned it in the Constitution class, how in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, ever, always, together with the Lord. And you have soon there and you have Amma. Together with, yes, that's eschatological. That's something in the future. But the best part of it is it's right now. Don't be struggling for future tense salvation. You've already got it. Some people are so busy trying to do that. It's just, it makes my heart ache. And I see how much work people are doing. Then I have to go back and look and see where what they believe to be saved. Maybe I know why they're working so hard. But it's that problem is understanding what Christ has done. Now, we get to soon, and I say there are about 140, and I bet I forgot to pull that out. I'm going to flash some notes. Okay. Well, I didn't get them out. They're in my briefcase. In Thayer's lexicon, he has a list of the compound forms. I tried to count them. And maybe my attention span isn't as long as it ought to be. But we're right around 140 different compounds. And we're going to be looking very quickly at six of them, because that's where we've been. 140 compounds. And what I had was a sheet of Thayer, and it's about that much of the sheet has a list of all of these Greek words. And he has textual issues and that sort of thing, so it creates issues. But about 140 of them. Soon is almost more important in compound form than it is in the single by itself. In fact, when it comes by itself, as far as positional truth, it only covers about 8 different occurrences. But then you have it all over in the rest of them. And so these compounds, for just in Christ alone, there are 28 of them. And yeah, you're right. We could easily go in this because that's so important to imputation. If we don't understand the imputation, we can't understand oneness. We can't understand a huge number of things. And I'm not sure where I'm being led in that matter. Now, let's take a moment and to review, as it were, some of these occurrences. We've been through some of these. Well, there that is. Okay. And when we've gone through these compounds, it says we have been crucified together. We've been there. When he died on the cross, I died on the cross. When he suffered in all ways, don't forget, when Christ died on the cross, he died a double death. Now let's remind you of this. The double death is found in Isaiah 53. And there's a plural there. He died physically and he died spiritually. He was separated from his soul and spirit from his body, and he was separated from the Father for 3 hours. And so when he died and was crucified, that time of crucifixion till his ultimate death, that crucifixion was a part of where we participated intimately with him. He suffered in our place. Oops, there's another soon. And when he suffered in our place, it was an intimate relationship that indicated we could do it by imputation, but we didn't have to have nails in our hands and in our feet and a spear in our side. It's that intimate, though. The Father can look at you and look at me as though they were there, because that's how close it is. Intimacy is important. And so we were crucified together with Christ. And it's funny, I threw these notes together last night, and that's what happened. They got thrown together. So I'm going to go have to look these up. Romans 6:6. Whoops, we're back in Romans 6 again. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. As crucified together, we have been here, so I'm just reviewing. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man, that is our old position in Adam, is crucified together with him. We don't have to live in the past like we did before we got saved. Because it happened, our old position in Adam was crucified. That the body of the sin nature might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. So, crucified means we don't have to serve sin. We don't have to be involved in the circle of the old man that is in Adam. It's not necessary to do that. And again, that soon is so important, is that identifiable togetherness. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20. I'm going to go both of them. For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I am living. Not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm living. It's resurrection life. In the first case, second, Christ liveth in me is eternal life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which should be resurrection, both of them, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there we were crucified together. That's that intimacy. I don't want to see a big gap in your understanding between what the work of Christ is and your identity with it. You don't want a chasm between. We need to understand how God looks at it. That's how good imputation is. Soon is good because it's imputed. And God can make it that intimate closeness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, I guess I need to explain if you're following in my notes. I have charts on this, but when I say 2 times of 5, two times it refers to position of 5, like this, crucified together. The other 3 occurrences are used of those who were crucified together with Christ and the 2 thieves, the brigands. Okay, so there are non-technical uses, and I'm looking at just those that relate to Christ. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, we died together, and there's our soon in 2:11. And he said, it is a faithful saying. Since you have died together with him. And I'm translating it as I come across it. That's an eros. We keep seeing these eros here. At a point in time, we died with him when he died. We don't have to be self-crucifying all the time. It happened once and for all. That's what these eros are telling me. We shall live with him. And this is talking about resurrection life in the future. I mean, that's one of the reasons sometimes they use these soons as just future tense salvation. So we died together with him. We were buried together with him, Romans 6:4, and that is not water baptism, it's spirit baptism. And we need to be reminded of that. Some that shouldn't have taught that this was water baptism. 6:4 says, therefore we are buried together with him by baptism into death. That is spiritual baptism, spirit baptism. Into the previously mentioned death. That was an article in front of it. Similar to him. We've been here 3 or 4 times now. In a similar way, as Christ was raised up from the dead ones by the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Similarity, that is, it's imputed to us. It's not an actuality. We don't have nail prints. But God can count us as having them. As having participated that intimately. And that's the idea. So being buried together with him. We have that buried together in Colossians chapter 2. Again, the second time in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, where it says, buried together with him in baptism. Again, that's spirit baptism. Wherein, or in him, also you are risen together. So you have buried together, risen together. We'll be back across that. Through the faith of the energy or operation of God who has raised him out from among dead ones. We won't go further. I'm just after these together terms. So in 2:12, well, I guess I need to go 13 because it says we're made alive. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he made alive together with him. And this is that instance that we touched last week. And it's, you have a soon. You have a double soon. You have a soon in the verb and you have a soon as a preposition separately. You can't get more. You are made so alive together with him. It's together. That's just a punch that drives it hard and drives it home. So we're made alive together. We see there that we have been raised together. We read those two verses. That's it soon. 2:6, we read it in scripture reading. Over in 3:1, and this is where I left off last week. In 3:1, it says, since you have been risen together with Christ, since you have, seek, pursue, look for the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so we are raised together. And where are we? The right hand. And then 2:6 of the Ephesians. And again, we read this in scripture reading. We were seated together. We're seated. That's where we're counted to be. We're not counted to be seated in the, on Love Green Drive in Cherry Grove. We're seen as seated where? At the right hand. And we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All of those soons, that's an intimacy. In a sense, we're reading God's love letters to us because it's something so intimate between that body of Christ that's going to become the bride of Christ. That intimacy will be more and more evident in the rapture. And so together is very, very, very important. Without Jesus Christ, there's no togetherness. Because together involves two or more people. I can be with you, or two of us. I can be with all of you. That was a plural in the Greek. And it's togetherness. And with Christ, that's what we're talking about. It's for an individual saint. If we don't enjoy this, all Christians should be enjoying. It's really hard sometimes to relate to other believers. You can't win alone in this thing. When you're not together and you're not related to it in this matter of your enemies, you'll never win. You can't win without the Godhead. It's okay to say, I'm in your way, God. I'm going to get out of the way. And then to get your dirty hands off. You know, just to get out of the way and say, I'm not going to try to control this. And you stop and you let God do what he wants to do and what is going to happen. You're going to be singing Amazing Grace an awful lot of the time. It's going to happen. On it. And so if you can't understand soon, you're a sure failure when it comes to enemies. Without understanding that unique togetherness is resurrected one. How can Satan attack you when he's been defeated at the cross and all you have to do is stand? You don't go into the offensive. You just stand. Because you're in Christ, you're together with Christ, and you do not stand alone. It's no wonder that Satan can be easily defeated in that circumstance, but if we try it on our own, We get whooped every time. Galatians 5 is sin nature, same problem. In Galatians 5, if we want to try it on our own, without the cooperation and the relationship of what Christ has done and the Holy Spirit is doing, we're going to get beat every time. But if we're a Spirit-filled believers and we're willing to get out of the way and let God do it, it's going to be victory time. And it's going to be something that's more habitual. And with that sin nature, it is a terrible thing. It's always messing with us. But when we live in this thing of being together with Christ, as soon as Christ, we have victory in that matter. And so when we share together with Christ, it involves all tenses of salvation. Past tense, yes, Colossians 2. Present tense, Colossians 2, we've read these verses. Future tense is taken care of there. Without the work of Christ and our identification with that work, as individual Christians, we are guaranteed failure. I don't like these kinds of guarantees. Guaranteed failure, and you know, if we don't understand the work of Christ and appropriate, it's done. It's sitting there for use. And then as groups, we can have that same problem. How many churches have had problems where there are a bunch of defeated Christians that are trying to relate to one another and honor Christ, and they're just whooped because they don't understand the intimacy they have in their position of Christ. Togetherness, and I've got three passages in the notes, you know, in Romans 6, we have victory over the sin nature. That's all togetherness. Colossians 2:20, the world system, that's the soon. Satan and demons, we'll be back over some of this. And so, I want to go back to where we read in the scripture with you, in Ephesians 2:5-6. I'm going to read it again because of that intimate togetherness, that identifiable togetherness. We sang about it when we sang in the Beloved. And when we see, God sees my Savior and then he sees me. Don't you like that? You ever think about when we sing this? God sees me and then he sees my Savior. That's the way we like to sing it, isn't it? No, that's not, that's accurate when he says he sees my Savior and then he sees me. And the Beloved accepted him free. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to just read 5 and 6 and we're out. Even when we were dead in sins. Just a sec, that's trespasses. Hath he made us alive together with Christ. When we were dead in sin, trespasses. All the unrighteousness involved. He says it's all by grace. And he's raised us up together. That means we're not dead anymore. We're dead to sin, but we are alive to God. That sounds like Romans 6. And he's made us, he's actively seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Here we are. He's building on Loveland Drive and Cherry Grove, and God counts as a seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And the temperature is perfect here. It might not be perfect here. Father, may you bless us in our thinking and in singing and thankful for this preposition that's so, so important. It tells us that, yeah, we're not different. We all have the same benefits package. We all have the same promises. It's done because the one who gets the glory is you and your son and your spirit. And we don't need to get the glory because we give it to those who deserve it so much. Well, thank you as you bless us in our thinking, and we press your blessing the day ahead. In Christ's name, amen.